Do we face each other? What do we do? Is it better to look at each other?
I feel like I look like I'm gonna look slightly off. Okay, so just the intro.
Oh my god, I'm having a baby. I knew this day would come to finally save and teach me love and how to stay.
Yeah, hey everyone. Welcome to Becoming Dad. It's a podcast about parenting and it's kind of a weekly reflection for us to think about how to become better dads. Which we've got a lot to learn still, but it's mostly 30-minute bite-sized conversations about parenting. My name is Artem Komarov, and I'm the father of Jacqueline Gerard Komarov, my baby girl, who's one, and a new baby that we're going to talk about later.
My name is Brock Brewer. I'm the parent of Barrett Wilkie Brewer, aged 3, and I'm also having a new baby to be determined.
So, do you want to set up the premise of why we started re-recording?
Artem and I, with our wives, obviously, we both decided that we were going to start having kids again at the same time.
And we made a bet, the world's most awkward bet, because the idea was to see who gets pregnant first.
Yeah, who's going to pregnant their wife first. Yeah.
Which we've established Brock beat me by a couple of days.
Oh, right. But it was, I mean, it was really close. You know, but like when I told Artem, it was really nice because it was like, hey, my wife's pregnant. It's like, my wife's also pregnant. And I was like, congratulations. But like, did I win the bet?
Did you say congratulations?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's fun. But I don't know. It's been interesting because
it's a really neat thing that we're having, like our second kids are going to be the exact same age. You know, that's going to be really cool. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Well, okay. So, when is the baby arriving, roughly? August 15th? 25th, I think. Something like that, around there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay.
early to mid-August.
Early to mid-August. My wife's having a C-section, which will make it a little bit easier to predict the timeline for that. But, you know, we're quite a ways away
still. We're
going,
like, free birth.
Is
that the technical term?
I think free birth is when you do it in, like, a pool inside your house or, like, your bathtub.
So not that, but in a hospital with a lot of doctors and drugs.
Well, we live in Canada, so I guess technically it is kind of a free birth.
American listeners.
There you just, we're right across the border, guys. Yeah, so we're quite a ways away. I know. Both of our wives are through the first trimester. How are you finding it?
Like the second pregnancy?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like it's really a question for my wife. She's had a rougher pregnancy this time around. She's, like, had a lot more morning sickness. You know, I think she's found it, like, a little bit tougher.
Yeah. My question is, the second time around, you kind of know what to expect.
Oh, yeah, it's terrifying. It's kind of like, hey, I know now how bad it will be with sleep. And it's not, like, this weird energy of, like, oh, can I do this? What will the rest of this be like? It's just like, nah, this is going to be real tough. Like, you know, it's not... It's like, you can definitely do this, it's just going to take a lot of effort and time. And now instead of just having to juggle one kid, you'll have to juggle two. I'm like, oh man, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm having a baby boy, and it's a miracle because, you know, now I have a girl and a boy. I'm so thrilled about that. And at the same time, I don't know how to describe this feeling. Like, dread, Brock? Like, what did I do? I just got my life, like, pretty cool set up. Jackie's now, like, 13 to 14 months. She's manageable. She's talking now. She's listening. She said please for something. And I'm going to add a second baby in there. And it's going to be so goddamn rough for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to no sleep. That's going to be terrible. And then also, like, will the baby wake up the toddler? Is that what's going to happen? Are they both going to be yelling at me? Do I have to comfort both children before I go back to bed?
What are you guys doing for the setup? Or where are you going to put the kids?
We're not sure. We're still figuring it out. We might put the baby, like, we have, like, a large closet. We might, like, put him in the closet, so, like, close in our room.
Mm-hmm.
I've also thought about, like, bunking with my toddler. He's pretty cool. You know, me and him will get along great. Bedtime buddies. We'll share a room.
That seems really fun. I'll buy you, like, just adult-sized pajamas, maybe, in that
case.
Yeah,
no, I'm sure. He actually is, he's got a lot of attitude, though. Like, we didn't, like, bed share or anything, so he's really used to having his own room, so he'll often be like, why are you in here? Go away. This is sleep time. I should be sleeping. Leave the room. So I think he would be upset.
So he's not a candidate for, like, attachment parenting, huh?
No, that's not his thing.
How old is he?
He's three.
He's three.
He's pretty confident, yeah.
So, and then baby number two, you're thinking, we're thinking of putting ours in, like, basically our stairwell. So I suppose, this is making us sound real bad on audio.
No, man, housing's expensive in Toronto. It's a crisis. Someone should fix this.
Do you co-sleep at the beginning? Did you guys co-sleep last time?
Nah, not at all.
Okay, neither did we.
Like, we tried to get out of that, like, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think, like, one of the thoughts that I had for the show was just to talk about, like, things that worked really well. And I really recommend the Snoo, which is, like, a robotic crib that, like, rocks your baby to sleep. You have to put him in a little tiny spacesuit, which is kind of fun. And it, like, sort of centrifuges them. But Jackie's a pretty solid sleeper all around, and then she became even better with the Snoo. I think within a couple of days, she was sleeping pretty soundly. So hospital, it might impede the nurses. The nurses come in, and you did just get a first life that you're now responsible for, other than your own. They come in, like, every hour?
Every hour, so, you know, they gotta make sure the baby's feeding and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so feeding. Okay, that's another one. So I can't get me now, hospital. We brought in baby food within, like, a day, basically.
Yeah.
We started supplementing. The one we went to, I won't name the name of the hospital, but it just had, all it had was, like, breastfeeding propaganda everywhere.
I don't think that's propaganda. I mean, I think there's, like, a lot of, like, isn't there, like, a lot of evidence?
There is, but, like...
Why are you anti-breastfeeding?
I'm not anti-breastfeeding. I'm pro... Oh my god, this is how insurgency starts. Breastfeeding, I'm pro-supplementing, so...
But, like, you're going to vaccinate your kids and stuff, right?
Yeah, Brock, that's different. See, that's a great example. That one, you can't say...
Well, it feels like you're just like, oh, look at this, like, evidence. I hate evidence.
I know.
Science is terrible.
We breastfed, but my baby slept so much better when we used, like a natal... And they're super convenient. It's like a little jar with, like, you just stick the top on. It's got a little nipple on it. And then that's it. And you feed your baby. And I don't know. She was, because she was clearly hungry. She was really, really, she would only cry when she hadn't been fed.
Yeah.
And my wife wasn't producing enough milk at the time. That makes it personal. Her breasts weren't producing enough milk at the time. Like, let's just make it sort of, you know. And so, yeah, we used supplementals. Great. But they would have come down on us so hard if they knew. Because it was, like, everywhere it said not to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking of, like, I mean, I think we'll definitely supplement more formula this time, just because I think it'll be so much easier.
Did you guys breastfeed the...
Well, Bear wouldn't take a bottle, so he breastfed until he was, like, 13 months.
Is that something you do differently?
Well, we'd supplement if we could, just because I think it'd be a lot easier. Like, as a dad, it was harder for me to, like, take him for, like, extended periods of time, because he would get hungry, and, like, the foods he would eat were pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we just ended up, he would eat those, like, packs of, like, pureed fruits and vegetables. And I would just add formula into that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then, like, that's kind of how we got him to, like, eat formula.
But that's, like food packs is, like, way late. You can only start to use those, like close to...
6 months, right?
6 months? I think I was going to say 6 to 9. I don't think I ever measured it.
Yeah, so you can kind of introduce, like, they're not even solid foods. They're, like, goopy foods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, so, like, we had formula in that, which was, like, good and stuff, but, I don't know.
So this is the segment of the show where we want to do a couple of speed rounds. The first one is, I don't have a pithy name for it, but just like entertainment, games, books, app recommendation for dads. So my big one was going to be either a TikTok or a Nintendo Switch. And follow me here. So especially with a new kid, you basically get like a decent amount of downtime, but it's short and it's completely like fragmented. So when I was watching Jackie at the beginning, I found it really helpful to have the Switch because she would go to sleep for like half an hour and I could just like play some mindless game that I couldn't really, or like TikTok's great or some, I don't know, some apps on your phone because you just, I don't know, it's like for your mental sanity because you're too tired to actually do anything, but you can't go to sleep because you're watching them. So that's my pro recommendation.
I guess, like, man, podcasts, especially this podcast, probably the best.
Because
then, like, when you're in, I spend a lot of time, like, in parks really early, like, before coffee shops opened.
Ooh, yeah.
Just watching my, like, toddler slowly play. Podcasts are great because you can kind of, like, listen to something, but you can still keep your eyes on them because, honestly, like, they're terrible at knowing what danger is. So, you know, you're kind of like, ah, I'm entertained. This is pretty great. But also, you know, you're eagle-eyed. You know, you're watching. Mm. Don't walk off that ledge. You know, hey, stairs, normal stairs, pretty dangerous for that kid.
Oh, man, even when you're not watching them, like, they, like, Jackie falls asleep when I take her for a walk outside, and podcasts are, like, a lifesaver. I don't know what else I would do. Or just, you know, I don't talk on the phone, so I'm not going to call you. I don't have friends who I call. So, yeah, those are actually amazing. That's a great recommendation. The other segment that I was thinking of is Dad Chat with Chad Dads. And do you want to try and explain where the concept of Dad Chat with Chad Dads came from?
We were listening to another dad podcast, and, you know, they had a segment basically being like, you know, this is like, what was it, like, cool dad, rad dad, or Chad dad. And, like,
and bad dad, I think.
Bad dad, yeah. And we were basically like, well, what's wrong with being a Chad dad? Isn't Chad dad? And their examples were all, like, dads that were, like, really into something, like, but like, maybe, like, too over the top.
Do you remember the exact, I remember the example they used, do you remember it?
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was, like, a dad who, like, showed up at his kid's taekwondo class.
And he was a military dad. So
he was a military dad.
Like, so he's away on leave, and then I think he surprised his kid.
Yeah.
Well, I assume he surprised his kid. I don't know if he did, but...
It was one of those, like, he's back, and then he, like... And then I think
he fought his kid.
He fought his kid. He, as a masked man in the taekwondo class, and then, like, took off his mask. Which I was like, oh man, that's awesome. And the kid was so happy, and then he cries. But then the hosts were like, you know, oh, what a jerk.
what a jerk.
He probably doesn't want to cry in front of his... But I was like, hey man, no, like, you know, like...
Is that the problem they had? Because I guess now that I tell the story, I assume they had a problem with, like, the dad doing taekwondo. Because neither of the dads, we're not mentioning their names, so whatever, let's blast them. Like, they were clearly unathletic, because he said he got winded going up a hill. But I think that's what made him call it Chad Dad.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a dad who's kind of like, in my definition, it's a dad who's like competent, clearly doing okay being a dad, and is kind of having fun with it. And maybe that's the sort of like, that's what's
being. Are Chad Dads rad dads then? Are we just like talking about rad dads then?
Maybe, but I don't think the two should be separated. So I have a recommendation for a rad Chad Dad. A rad Chad Dad, that's what we'll do. So it's a YouTube channel called How to Dad. It's a gentleman from, I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm going to say both, either Australia or New Zealand. So almost everything he says...
I think that was clearly Australia.
Okay, well, fair enough. You watched it, thank you. That will both be wrong if we've doubled down. So everything he says...
Tasmania, sort of, turns out.
Yeah, exactly. So everything he says is sort of has a natural, like, comedic tilt to it.
Because of his accent?
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, I don't know if you could say that.
Why?
We'll edit that out.
No, you won't. I'm the editor. You can't tell me what to do. The point is, How to Dad on YouTube, you can look it up. I think he's almost got like a 500,000 subscribers.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he just kind of records his kids, makes fun video compilation. Yeah, well, we're just starting, Brock, you know. And yeah, people should check him out. And for next time, have a rad Chad Dad for the listeners.
All right, yeah.
Cool. And then great parenting tools. So it could be technology, books, whatever. This is for your kids more. So my recommendation was going to be the Snoop, which I think I mentioned before. It's great for kids when they're really young. It does cost quite a lot. So maybe you can pick it up used. That's great. But essentially, it will like save you so much sleep deprivation. Can't say enough about it. Do you have anything you'd recommend? Anything you couldn't live without if, like, on the second go-around?
Oh, man. I mean, like, just, like, every parent in, like, 2020, it's, like, a man an iPad. You know? Like, you can't go anywhere. Like, I can't believe, like, if my parents had this parenting tool, I'm sure they would have used it all the time. Like, it's just like, oh, this thing that now you can just, like, give a child and they will, like, settle down. And I'm like, you feel terrible about it, but you're just like, wow, what an amazing tool.
Do you...
With, like, specialized headphones. Like,
okay.
Where they just zone out wherever you are.
Okay, so we'll finish on this note, because I want to, let's talk about it for a second. So when we talked about using the internet to parent, one of the things that I consistently came across was like, screen time will murder your children, and it's horrible for you, and I use it all the time, so I'm in the same boat as you are. Is that something, how do you feel about that? Because it feels like that rubs a lot of parents the wrong way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't know, like almost anything, it's kind of like, well, why is this bad?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea with screen time is that, you know, they're you're deriving them of like more meaningful interactions.
Hmm.
So it's sort of like, you know, they really need to be like talking with other children or adults, or like having like more meaningful things, or like having time to play and do all those things. You know, my kids hit a lot of his developmental milestones, and he seems like really content and happy. And I think if he was struggling, I might, you know, I'd definitely be like, oh, what are other things I can do to like really like supplement this? But, you know, like it's kind of like the fears of like the downsides of screen time I have not seen. He's like, you know, he's got a great vocabulary, you know, he's really like, you know, good emotional, well emotionally adjusted for his age, et cetera, et cetera. So nah, man, I don't really necessarily worry about that.
Yeah, I think that's like a good way to look at it. I think if you're worried about something, or if you're worried about the downside or the side effects of something you bring into your child's life, like finding a way to, and this is hard, but maybe finding a way to measure it and set like a goal or set a clear way to mark kind of the progress for it, it certainly occurred to me that like a lot of it is just anxiety in a lot of cases. So I think milestones is a great point. Like, yeah, if your kid's doing well and healthy and, you know, you're keeping within certain limits, like the iPad or anything else, like whatever, they can keep them entertained at certain points is fantastic. Okay, we're going to cut it there. That's our pilot episode of Becoming Dad. And for anyone who's listened right to the end, thank you so much. We're going to use this as an opportunity to get your feedback and tell us what worked, what
constructive
didn't.
Constructive criticism, yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah, like instructive being the key part there. Please don't be mean. But yeah, we're going to let you listen to this and I'll be back with another episode soon.